Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship, whether you are here in person or worshiping with us on Facebook Live on this Sunday morning. A reminder that we do share in an open communion every week, and if you are with us virtually, I hope that you will have communion elements available to you as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together later in our service. Those here are reminded to take your cups with you as you leave and dispose of them in the receptacle provided. It is good to see our happy traveler back with us this morning, and we know that Audra is glad to be home, and we are glad to have her back with us. We continue to lift to God our prayers for the world, especially for the people of Ukraine. We continue to pray for peace. We also want to remember Rob and Claudia, who both had surgery. Claudia is home, as I understand it. And we remember Carol as she continues to recover, as does Bob and Elizabeth in whatever trials any of them face. We remember in our prayers all who mourn and all who have died during and because of this pandemic. As we hear, we have passed the 1 million death mark due to COVID. I would also ask you to remember those in Buffalo, New York, who are mourning the deaths of 10 individuals, the injury of 4, as well as their family and friends on this tragic situation that I know that we will learn more about as the days go on. We are blessed to be able to share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors or by mailing our gifts to the church office. Remember, the work of the church continues 7 days a week, as does the work of God. Your gifts help us to keep our ministries going. A reminder to sign up for greeters. And a thank you to all who bake cakes for St. Pat's. We've also been received word that St. Pat's will indeed begin inside meals in June. So if you're willing to give that second Thursday of the month, just for a couple of hours to help serve those meals, please let me or Mary Ann Woodward know. And we'll get you on the list and give you more information. That's the second Thursday of the month. They will be serving from 5 to 6, so we'll need to leave here about 4, so that we have time to cut cakes and dish them up and that kind of good stuff. There's also a sign-up sheet for lawn mowing. If you need a refresher course for use of the mower, please see Dick Woodward. And a reminder that board will meet immediately following the service. Fellowship time will still be available, and then we will have a light lunch. For those staying for the board meeting, all are welcome to attend the board meeting and the fellowship time. But there is a lot of business, that some heavy discussions we need to have, and so we are looking forward to everyone being here and participating in that. And with that, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, reading from the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from the Gospel of John. There's a couple of different memes that I always like to read that come and go on Facebook. Generally, it's a cartoon or line drawing depicting Jesus preaching to a crowd, apparently his disciples quite often, and he's telling them either this little bit of scripture or the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's always something about love, and the disciples clearly are protesting. They're asking the "but what if" questions. But what if they don't look like me, or talk like me, or act like me, etc., etc.? And Jesus says, "Let me say it again," or "what don't you understand?" It's simple. Love your neighbor. It generally makes me chuckle a bit, but then I think it's sad because it's, oh, too true. I was tempted to take the advice of a colleague who years ago remarked that if she were preaching this text this week, she would simply repeat verse 34, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." And she would repeat it three times, as we've been told to make 3 points in our sermon, and then she would sit down. Maybe if she wanted to lengthen it a little, she would add verse 35. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Tempting, to be sure. But no, I don't think so. In truth, I was tempted to totally abandon this text, especially this morning after watching the news. News of a mass shooting, war still raging, politicians in this country trying to bully one another, let alone the people that put them in office in the first place, threats of turning back the clock, making mountains out of molehills, as my father used to say. But then again, maybe it's now that we need this reminder from Jesus. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." A colleague who was a parishioner as well as a mentor of mine told me about the first church he served while still in Bible college, as they called it in those days. He preached this text, he told me, the first Sunday, and the next, and the next. It seems that there was a little tension and dissension in the church, and the good folks were literally divided by the center aisle and actually physically throwing hymnals at one another across the aisle. Yes, even during the sermon. When someone commented that maybe he should change his text, he told them, "When you start living this one, I'll preach another." I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It sounds so simple, really. So why is it often difficult for us? Why do we seem surprised at this new commandment? Why do we balk at it? Oh, to be sure, we give great lip service to the words, and we say we love one another, at least here in these four walls, but do we really hear the words of Jesus in this text? And why do I keep getting the image of Jesus smacking his forehead over all the but what questions that the disciples and we tend to ask? Or how we go about living our day-to-day lives, let alone how we act as church. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I think we need a strong reminder like this one that Jesus gives, because they really are strong words. Too often we in the church live as though Jesus had said something more to the effect that the world will know whose disciples we are by the bumper stickers we buy, or by our prosperity, or by the indignation with which we condemn others, or by how much we avoid controversy and how much we increase spending units, by how well we follow what some beloved member of the church started or said or did 30, 40, or even 50 years ago, or worst of all, by our so-called respectability, even as we're boasting about being friendly. Our gospel for today says none of those things. It says that the world will know whose disciples we are by our love for one another, for every member of Christ's body, which means for each member, every person in God's world. I don't know about you, but that's a powerful, sometimes even frightening thought. This is a commandment. These are marching orders from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. How much easier is it to stay within our own sanctuary, our own group, and not worry about those other people out there? Don't rock the boat. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What gives Jesus' statement power is not only its brevity, but its focus. It's the one thing, the one and only thing Jesus wants his disciples to know and to remember when he's gone. I am with you only a little while longer, he says. He is wrapping up his ministry, his life on this earth with his disciples. He is giving them his last words, his last will and testament, telling them, even as he tells us, what he thinks is most important to remember: love one another. Not evangelize one another, not pray for your enemies, not give more money to the church, not resist temptation, not make me proud, not any of the other 100 things we regularly hear lifted up as the pinnacle and priority of the Christian life, but love one another. When you think about it, these words articulate the simplest and and probably the most difficult command that Jesus could have given. Simple because on any given day, at almost any given moment, we usually know deep down what the most loving thing to do for those around us is. Yet doing it is another matter. So many things get in the way. We're too busy or too tired or we're focused on some other goal or we're impatient or we're angry or we're afraid or confused. Fear seems to beget violence. Violence begets destruction. And destruction begets hate. And that's the opposite of what we've been commanded. Yet Jesus is adamant. To be a disciple is to love one another. Not only that, but others will recognize the disciples then and now. They will recognize us by whether we love one another. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The song we'll soon sing says they'll know we are Christians by our love. Then there's the one I learned as a child. You remember it, love, love, love. The gospel in a word is love. Sometimes that love is a joyous love, like when we celebrate a baby dedication or a baptism or covenants between two people, or we can sit around and fellowship around a table. Sometimes that love is tough love as we remind one another of our common cause, our common focus, our common goals that are ours as the body of Christ. Sometimes it means loving one another enough to say no or enough or let's try things this way or even where is God in whatever the question or situation or issue is. Sometimes that love is a grace-filled, forgiving love. After all, we're all human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to challenge one another. The world is going to challenge us. But love, Christ's love, can enfold us in different ways and open our hearts to forgive and, more importantly, to be forgiven for things that we have done and for things we should have done and did not do. The world is watching. The world will know Christ's love through us, through what we do, through what we say, by whether we're willing to stretch our arms out as did Christ and sacrifice all and yet embrace one another with his love. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This new commandment may not be so new anymore, but it still holds power, and it still calls us to listen and to learn and to love the world as did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we listening? Are we ready? Amen.